Dark wings.
Dork words. A Game of Thrones podcast. Season 4, Episode 6.
The Laws of Gods and Men.
Podcast Central, motherfuckers. Coming at you live from Michael Hergert's Den of Booze.
Did you say booze or boobs? You should have said boobs.
Not safe for work. We forgot to say that.
NSFW, cocksuckers. I'm eyeballs deep in a Dornish red, and I'm ready to spit some truth. Your host, Chuck D, here. And with me, as always,
Craig McCauley.
Mike Hergert.
Chris Voorhees.
All right, fellas, we doubled down on this episode. We took our time with it. We ruminated for a few days, reconnoitered,
reconnoitered on a Thursday to talk some TV,
and we rewatched the episode. And then we watched something else and got drunk and forgot what we were going to talk about.
Here's something. The episode was, you know, probably a lot. Every week someone says, oh, man, has it been an hour already? It really flew by.
It's only been 48 minutes, guys.
Yeah, this episode was only 52 minutes, so it really did fly by.
Well, the trial of Tyrion was a solid, cliffhanger.
Yep.
Played out beautifully. Everything about it was true to the spirit of the source material, except for that fucking cunt Shay.
Oh,
yeah. Shit. Hey, the kid gloves come off.
Eyeballs deep in a Dornish red. It's okay. Hey, this is an emotional show. It's supposed to inspire
emotion.
That sort of emotion,
so,
I guess.
Here's the thing. Let's just get into Shay's testimony, and then we'll reel it.
Let's dive right into her.
Go elsewhere. Here's the problem I have with Shay, like the root of the issue. Shay, as portrayed on the show, is she's like righteous indignation at her fate, right? So she's a whore, and she's shacked up with
a
dwarf.
She said.
Right.
Remember.
But she alternates between like being resentful and bitter about her lot in life
and being carefree and
also being sort of like empowered by it. But the thing is, she's shrewd. She's in charge of her own destiny as portrayed on the show. So in essence, she is worthy of Tyrion's love because she is a fully realized person. But Shay, as depicted in the book, is just she's not smart. She's just toys with his like carnal needs or whatever. You know, she's good at playing at his libido, but she's otherwise completely divorced from the politics or the circumstances of his life or King's Landing. All she cares about is what Tyrion can do for her and what she can do for Tyrion. So Tyrion treats her accordingly. Like, he's in love with her because the way that she makes him feel in the books, but he has no real intellectual attraction to her because she's not his intellectual equal at all. She's a sex toy that turns him on, and he loves her for it in spite of himself, right? But the way that Shay is depicted on the show, she's a fully realized person. She is Tyrion's intellectual equal. Or certainly capable of being one, and therefore is deserving of Tyrion's love. The way that Tyrion treats her character on the show is the way he treats Shay's character from the book, and it's all fucked up because of that. It's like Tyrion, they could be a couple, the way that the two characters are depicted. So therefore, Shay's betrayal of Tyrion here on the stand in his trial is totally out of left field, totally uncalled for. It's just like, so we're supposed to believe that this Shay, who was shrewd and cunning and sort of realistic about her lot in life and had genuine emotion for Tyrion, that she's going to get jealous because of the marriage to Sansa to the point where she would turn on Tyrion to this degree. it just doesn't fucking add up. It's like, what? She's fucking psycho crazy then, if that's where she's coming from. And he ought to be completely blindsided. And so the Shay of the show, Tyrion deserved to love and care about, but they just fucked up her character. Am I off base? You guys chime in.
Well, Dr. Freud. No, I mean, you've obviously given this more thought than I have, because I couldn't even keep up mentally with what you were saying. But
you're not as equal. You're like Shay in the book. Good for you.
This is your hot button with the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I just had that realization, I think, just watching this episode a second time. It's like the thing that's bugged me about her all along is the Shay, as depicted on the show, she's too smart to deserve the way that Tyrion treats her. So I didn't hate the fact that they decided to make Shay smarter. I hated the fact that they didn't adjust Tyrion's treatment of her accordingly.
Yeah. And you're right. She's too smart to really be jealous of Tyrion, because she knows, you know, she knows full well that it wasn't his choice to marry Sansa, and he didn't want to marry Sansa.
Right.
There was nothing going on between him and Sansa.
And the dumb Shay in the book got that.
Right.
And the smart Shay of the show didn't.
It doesn't. Right. You're right. It doesn't make sense. So why is she so angry? This event, and events we haven't seen yet, sort of define Tyrion's quest in the later books. And I feel like it's going to be kind of messed up. He can be more angry at Shay now for what she's done to him, whereas in the books, you know, I mean, he kind of understood. Obviously she would turn on him when he no longer has any power and she needs to look to somebody else as a benefactor, and he knows that.
Of course, he's always cursing himself for loving her because he knows who she really is.
Right.
He knows that she's pushing his buttons and playing to his libido and his fragile ego. And in spite of himself, he loves her for it, because he needs to feel that way. He needs to feel loved. But the Shay of the show is not that at all. And so her testimony is brutal, because it's 90% truth and 10% falsehood. So the 90% that's truth stings that much more, because it's the 90% truth that would indict him. And that's true of the other people's testimony as well. Cersei's testimony was brutally efficient in being like the seed of truth, but just spun in such a way as to be completely damning.
I mean, yeah, was there a testimony that wasn't? I mean, even
right, all
Meryn,
of it.
Meryn Trant gives him a beat down.
Yeah.
Gives him a little smile as he walks away. Like,
well, and
all of their testimony was factual, but lacking context.
And when Tyrion tried to give Meryn Trant context, it was like, we'll have no context here.
Right.
And yet, when he spoke up the other times, it was like, all right, I'll allow it.
Yeah. I'll let you talk to Varys.
If it's going to make you sad, I'll allow it. If it will exonerate you, then no fucking way. So I think I've said my piece about Shay. The writers just spun it the wrong way, and it just never added up. But so if we just accept the fact that Shay was smart but stupid, in love with Tyrion and spurned by the fact that he married Sansa, and decided to send her away for her own good, she was spiteful about that and decided to condemn him to death to get back at him. Well, fuck her and whatever happens to her from this point on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, do we really think that it was all of her own doing, that there wasn't any outside influence by Cersei? We're going to kill you if you don't.
She did. You're left, I think,
because there's a conversation with Tywin and Jamie that kind of alludes to that. That
someone who's watching the show is left to guess whether she's reading off of a script that she barely has memorized. You see her looking very like she's trying to recall. You know, is that just because Shay's not supposed to be that smart, or is it because she is trying to remember something that was spoon-fed to her?
Spoon-fed to her.
That's what I'm
her
saying.
Testimony
her
was
testimony
was a little too insightful and too incisive.
And it didn't even seem like when she was speaking it came from her heart. It seemed like she was trying to do, like she would look up and look to the side and kind of stammer and kind of, you know, it was real choppy.
Not when she shot that look at Tyrion, though.
Not then.
It was like, right. Yeah, so it wasn't just like, I'm reading from the script, I'm being forced against my will to say this stuff.
Not at that moment, but...
That look that she shot to Tyrion was like, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking you on purpose.
Right.
And but this is what happens.
Yeah. Didn't you think that some of it, the way she was delivering it, seemed to imply that it wasn't all her words or her thoughts?
I thought so.
I thought so, too.
So whose words... Well, the viewer is left to wonder.
Right.
But so great reaction shots, too, in the trial for some of those things. Marjorie, in particular, seemed disturbed by the entire proceedings. And Cersei seemed sort of self-satisfied by Tyrion's, sinking fate. Jaime, every reaction shot was like, oh, no.
My brother.
You're fucking yourself.
Don't do... You're supposed to be quiet. Just... No. What are you doing?
Oberyn seemed turned on by the tantalizing, titillating details.
He's turned on by everything.
Yeah.
The
wind blows.
Right, right.
Is it true when she said, the first night, like, fuck me like it's my last night on Earth? He literally did say that, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think pretty much all the kind of quotes are pretty much exact what he said.
That's right.
My lion. Yeah,
so really the only...
Call me your lion.
Right,
that was your idea, baby.
He didn't command her.
No, he didn't.
That was her thing.
Yeah. But it was there was truth in it because that exchange was made verbally.
Right.
So. And Cersei's thing about when you least expect it.
Oh, yeah. Damning. God damn.
And he kept whores in the tower. All that stuff is true.
Yeah.
He really squirmed when she said that, too, or cringed. Because he knew she was turning his own words against him, and he couldn't deny it.
What did happen? Cersei, I can't remember, that was a couple seasons ago, but didn't Cersei, she thought she was, torturing Tyrion's girlfriend, but she wasn't. It was actually a different...
Ala Yaya?
Yeah, right, Ala Yaya.
Who was never a character
that was
on
in the
show.
Book. Yeah.
So Tyrion, when he was the Hand of the King, had a very elaborate...
System
that Varys turned him onto, where he was able to sneak out of the hand of the Tower of the Hand,
right,
and go through a tunnel out to his favorite brothel, and then once he arrived there, he would go into a bedroom with a certain whore, and at that point he would go into her closet and out through the alley, and then take a pony out down to the other side of town to the small little villa where he had Shay set up a little princess with her own little house and her own servants and her own bard, minstrel.
Just outside the Red Keep, right?
Until he would arrive. And so none of that was depicted on the show.
Yeah.
Instead, it was a thing where somehow... He was able to trick Cersei into thinking he was sleeping with a different person than Shay. And whoever
Roz
that person was.
That, right? Was it Roz who got beat for that?
It was Roz.
Yeah.
But it was never depicted like, I'm going to pretend to sleep with Roz, so if anybody decides to beat up my girlfriend, they'll beat Roz up instead of my real one. But that's what happened. It was kind of like, he had Shay perfectly concealed.
Right.
And so then Cersei boldly confronted him once, like, hey, I got your whore over here.
He's
and
like,
I'm going to mess her up. And that's when he said he just sort of out of empathy for poor Roz,
did
the
he
innocent.
Know? I don't think that he knew. I think he was like, maybe
at
they
the
have
At the time,
Shay.
I think he did think they were they
Yeah,
were
he thought
Shay.
That she had Shay.
It's actually, well, Cersei it's was not... threatening to hurt. Oh, no. Oh, at that time, before he realized that it was actually Roz that he'd captured?
Right. He didn't know
that
it was...
had captured?
Well, we don't know reveal-wise. Like, we don't know... I thought the implication was that... Because they surprised the audience, us, the viewing audience, they surprised it with it being Roz
instead of Shay.
But they also never went into whether Tyrion had a hand in it, set it up. Someone else did. Someone else got him off track for some other reason that would benefit themselves.
Right.
Everyone was supposed to be surprised.
I was under the impression, whatever scene that follows where Tyrion realizes that Shay is safe, just sort of says, oh, we dodged a bullet. Like, you can't be here.
But that's still not conclusive.
So it's implied that he understood that it wasn't Shay that was in danger. Is it implied that he knew that Roz was in danger at that point? Roz never really got...
He didn't care.
Roz never got hurt from that. Roz didn't get hurt until...
The Joffrey
crossbow.
The Joffrey incident. You're right.
So it was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, Peter Dinklage was just
What do we think of Tyrion spitting
the end there? He was just
spitting
venomous.
Vitriol. Yeah, oh, God. I thought it was awesome. It was well done.
Yeah,
I love the fact that they remembered the core of Tyrion's pride about the
saving
battle
the...
in the Blackwater, and his comment to Varys was from the book, and it was a key one,
right.
And so Varys' testimony, also very damning, very honest, turning Tyrion's own words against him. So Varys is playing along with the charade. He's like, all right, I realize Tyrion is fucked, and I'm going to play my part to the hilt to help fuck him. But so Tyrion calls him out on it. He's like, didn't you tell me personally you thought I did good? And he's like, yeah, but... sucks to be you kind of thing, right?
Unfortunately, I don't forget anything. So all the other shit you said.
Yeah, so he acknowledges, that. Yes, I remember. You and I know what really happened, but your fate is sealed. Isn't that kind of the
now he's
subtext
jockeying,
there?
He's jockeying for a position after the trial's over, you know.
Yeah, it's all about the throne.
The same way he stared at the throne.
Not about
now.
Loyalty to any particular person.
Well, Varys is not a true lord, and he exists. He succeeds. He perseveres by understanding the politics and the way that the winds are blowing.
And I think by making himself useful to the right people at the right time.
I think Varys and Littlefinger should get a spin-off show.
The Odd Couple spinoff.
Felix and Oscar.
I think the Prince Oberyn and Varys conversation was pretty interesting in front of the throne, where it's kind of like, well, I mean,
that's one of those fun,
you know, that Varys
scenes.
has been cut, but then it's like, you know, he really didn't like boys or girls before.
I like
that.
How Oberyn,
so it's kind of like
it's just such a foreign thought to him. He's like,
right.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Can't comprehend.
What? Who do you like?
Like even if he still had all his parts, that he would still just basically
love
be
sharp
after power.
Furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
Oberyn has already just completely thinks it's nonsense that any person on the planet would not be out there fucking every man and woman that moves that they can possibly get their hands on. It's like, but nothing?
I feel like Oberyn had a really solid intro in the books, and his legend grew from that. And I feel like he got sort of a short shrift in his intro on the show, but his profile has grown by leaps and bounds with every scene that he's gotten.
People love him.
He's I love him.
You will.
Oberyn is fully deserving of love. I mean, here's this enigmatic, charismatic, brilliant,
vibromatic.
It's a grease lightning. he's fucking badass. He's shrewd and smart, and he's not embroiled in any of this shit. But he has a righteous indignation and a hatred for having been wronged by
the Lannisters.
Yes,
he's not even gonna fucking stand up when Tywin comes in the room. Forget it.
And like a boss.
Better shit to do.
Yeah, he's fucking great in that scene.
He's not even going to take his leg off the table.
That counterplay, that juxtaposition of Mace being so
timid and like
bitch. Subservient and obsequious.
And Tywin.
Toady.
And Tywin making him be that way. Like, go get my paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Go get the pen.
Go fetch
it. I'm not going to ask Oberyn to do it. He's got his leg on the table.
If Tywin asks you to be on his, axes you to be on his small council, and you fucking own it, then he'll let you own it.
Yep.
And if you're going to be a bitch, then Tywin's going to treat you like a bitch.
Yep.
Say what again?
The inequities of the righteous man. I'll be set on him.
Great small council scene. God, that's a. Yeah. I wish there was a. I wish that we hadn't been, denied us 2 seasons worth of small council scenes.
We haven't really seen any for a while.
You think the small council should be like the passing of the joint on that 70s show?
Right. It could be a spinoff, the small council.
Constant POV shots of Pycelle muttering into his beard.
No, that'd be bad.
Incensed by everything.
We need Phil here to do an old man voice.
They should all just take turns insulting Cersei, because those are the best lines in the small council meetings.
Oh, Cersei. all full of righteous indignation and beauty.
And yet so stupid.
so smart and yet so stupid.
So susceptible.
Yes. Cersei
susceptible.
Is...
Oh, I think she's just totally stupid. She's blinded by her arrogance.
She's believing everything that's unfolding in the trial because she wants to believe it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, because there's the conversation between her and Tywin where she's like, well, he screwed over our lineage, basically, so what are you going to do about it? Like,
she's hated Tyrion ever since her mother died in his childbirth, and she's barely tolerated him all these years. But God bless Jaime for loving him all these years. I love the moment where Jaime says, "Do you trust me?" And there's like a real heartfelt, like, "All right, I'm in your hands, bro."
Oh, brothers!
And there is some trust until they bring out the witness.
Until he's like, "Well, fuck all of y'all."
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't like it in the book because the parallel was just too. It just seemed like a repeat. But, you know, Tyrion saved his ass when he was in the Eyrie by calling trial for combat. It's like, I won't get any justice here.
Right.
This is a mock trial, or what do you call it? Not a mock trial.
Sham trial? A scam trial?
A kangaroo court.
Kangaroo court.
Congregate.
Kangaroo. Court. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Play the kangaroos.
Conga court. Let's all do a conga around the table. Hey,
let's all kill the dwarf now. Let's all kill the dwarf now. trial by combat saved his ass in the Eyrie, and it seems I just remember in the book
more of a Prince Oberyn approach to...
if this is what Tyrion's going to rely on, I mean, why not just call it and have Bronn save his ass again? So that was, I think that was my thought when he says trial by combat. My instinct was Bronn to the rescue, right?
I demand trial by combat again.
Yeah,
every
exactly.
Time.
He may as well have said again, but in spite of that, it's still a badass moment because you know he's fucked, especially when he mouths off like that. But he does it knowing that he's got an ace up his sleeve of sorts, not an ace. He's got like a possible flush up his sleeve.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when he says trial by combat, where he's just kind of like,
well, Bronn's on another show already. He's not even in the season.
Oh, really? Is he on?
So who's he gonna call?
Hot in this Cleveland? Season?
No, I'm just kidding. No. No, hot no. Cleveland.
Hot in Cleveland. Yeah, he's gonna call Valerie Burton and Ellie. She's gonna get over there. And...
But he had in the books. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he have the whole trial by combat kind of set up from the beginning? Like he knew he was gonna play that card. He knew who was gonna be his champion
in the Eyrie.
No,
in the Eyrie.
No. In this trial.
No.
He didn't.
No.
We're going to spoil a lot of shit.
Nothing.
I want. There was definitely more sort of like day one, day two, day three, and meeting with people and talking about his strategy in the book, right?
Right.
And it was all kind of like.
There are certain people who don't believe that he's guilty.
Did Tyrion call any witnesses?
No.
No. He basically was going to say, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to call trial by combat. So. Say what you want, but the show played it up for more shock value, which is cool, and it's been enough seasons that it was kind of like, all right, but yeah, I think maybe that's why it felt like a foregone conclusion in the book. It's like, well, he's just gonna he's gonna play his old familiar trial by combat right. card.
Old familiar.
That's his go-to move.
Gods like him.
So don't you think people are counting on Bronn to the rescue? I mean, who else is he gonna have fight for him? Jaime
Mr. Golden.
Why not? They allude to it in the trailer for next week.
What about, okay, Tywin and Jaime is a big deal.
Yeah.
That scene is gold. It's as kinda, gold as the droplets dribbling from Lord Tywin's asshole.
Oh.
Because he's just gold.
He's got the leaks. He's
that
pretty Midas old. He's 67.
Touch.
Jaime, I'd forgotten all about this, but it rings true from the books, right? Where Jaime devises a way to save his bro, and he's like, I'll give Tywin what he wants. I will step down from... Because obviously Cersei doesn't give a shit if I'm on the Kingsguard
anymore. He's giving up on that.
And I don't want to be around these people anymore. So I'll save Tywin, and I'll go ahead and go father some brats to get my dad off my back.
Does fucking, he do that in the books?
I don't know. It feels like Jamie had to would have had to give Tywin something to feel like he was sacrificing something for Tywin's for Tyrion's sake.
This Jamie is not the Jamie that pushed Bran out of a window. This is not your father's Jamie. He's grown up. He finally grew up. He became a good person.
Well, Jamie was willing to kill for Cersei, and he's willing to sacrifice for his brother. So, I mean, he's a family guy.
He's a real family guy.
I don't remember this happened in the books.
Okay. Again, you've read it most recently. So did Jamie make any kind of deal with Tywin, or was he just watching in horror of what's going to happen?
Yeah.
If it's fully invented for the show, it feels like kudos to the show for coming up with this
but clearly,
spin on things.
Jamie is not going to go to Casterly Rock. That's not going to happen. I don't care if you've read the book, haven't read the book, or just watching the show. It doesn't matter. There's no fucking way that's going
to
happen.
Sorry,
we've never even been to
everybody
Casterly
knows it.
Well, we already know that because that was the eventuality should Tyrion throw himself on the mercy of the court and they send him to the wall.
But even
that's already out the window.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why Tywin's reaction was so grim. He's just like, "Oh fuck!"
Even for those
you
10
little
minutes.
Fucker, you just threw. You just I've orchestrated this whole thing perfectly, and you fucked it for me. Tywin was pissed.
Yeah,
and Jamie was worried.
Yeah,
Cersei was pissed. Marjorie was consternation. I don't know. I mean, she just was like, "Oh, this is all so serious and upsetting."
Yeah,
these are some people that I don't really care about. So I'll let him do whatever.
When do
they
I
want.
Get to marry Tommen?
Shut up. Tommen was playing.
He was recused.
You know, Marjorie. I like Marjorie a lot, and from the book and the show.
Oh man.
Well,
too.
I didn't like her so much when she was just like, "Come on, Renly. I know you're gay and you're hot for my brother, but just fuck me, please, so I can be a queen." That was less endearing. And her willingness to marry Joffrey in light of the fact she didn't have any idea that Joffrey was going to die also seems a little shallow. But I like the way she warmed up to Tommen. You know, you got to have a soft stop.
Cut.
Got to have a softy.
And action.
You got to have a limp dick for Tommen. you got to have a soft spot for Tommen. Right? I mean, look at him. He's doing it right.
He's a baby. It's a baby soft spot.
He doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't know.
Although,
anything.
Part of me really wanted Tommen to, like, go up to Tyrion after he was sort of, like, "I'm going to recuse myself from the trial."
Be like,
and just say, hey uncle.
All right.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. You
were always the good uncle.
When he walked by him.
It seemed like he might. Yeah.
That's what I like, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, he's going to walk by and, like, give him a few, like, a.
Just
like, few words of wisdom.
Like, I'm only 12. I don't know what the fuck is up.
Hey, bro, nice trial. I'm out of here. Kind of like it'd be like a Justin Bieber move or something. Yeah.
Well, it was. Yeah, it was more Bieber-esque than heartfelt. It was just where he's like following orders as opposed to showing any character. So maybe it's more important for you to think that Tommen is just a robot than a person. But I want to like Tommen.
Is that the end of the series? Tommen's a robot? That's a spoiler. Why you be spoiling?
Automaton.
The next thing maybe we can talk about is the rescue, quote, rescue of Reek. The quote rescue of quote Reek. But it seems like they got into the Dreadfort too easily.
It's not very dreaded. It's pretty
right. You can't get to it by boat.
Yeah, it's way up in the north.
Not with that attitude.
Although, I mean, I guess the Iron Islanders, the Greyjoys, were able to take a lot of places in the north in their incursion.
They have flying boats.
They've messed that whole storyline up. I realize they had to, but they've spent no time on the politics of the north.
Mm-hmm.
They really haven't.
It is too bad.
The weight of the Karstarks' sort of denial of Rob was given short shrift.
Yep.
The impact of the Great John's loyalty to Rob was given short shrift. And just the politics of Roose Bolton's traitorous act.
Yeah, well, because he's always been arrival of the Starks. He's there. He's the house that the Starks had to put down to consolidate their power over the North. But they've never really touched on that rivalry.
The Boltons?
Yeah.
Was that acknowledged in the books?
Mm-hmm.
That the Boltons... I mean, the Starks have ruled the North from the beginning. There was never...
Well, yeah, but the Boltons are there, too. They're also the blood of the First Men or whatever.
And perhaps... They've always lived in the Starks' shadow and have always wanted to...
Break out.
Stab them in the back.
Right.
All right. Well, I mean, Roos is a dick and Ramsay's a dick, so... And the whole... makes
good sense.
Whole Flayedman sigil is not a good sign.
But also the Iron Islanders. I mean... That's another whole front in the war, right? You hardly even know what's going on up there, what they're doing or what their agenda is.
We haven't seen Theon's dad.
He's dead.
You're right.
Balon Greyjoy.
Balon Greyjoy, who basically declared war on the other kingdoms.
Right.
But most specifically the North.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He's not dead
what do
yet.
You mean he's dead.
Not, yeah, he hasn't died on the show.
Yeah, he has.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has.
Off screen and unmentioned by any character.
No, he's not dead yet.
All the machinations of the Greyjoys have hit the cutting room floor, or, you know, the typing room floor before they ever even shot any of that. It's like there's too much going on. The politics of the Iron Islands is just one layer of depth beyond what the show is capable of.
But we'll get back there soon or eventually, right? Hopefully, maybe not.
Well, so I
God,
think
who knows what they're going to cut out?
Yeah, I'm not even sure it's necessary at this point.
Apart from the clunkiness of Yara's aborted Theon rescue attempt, and just the logical problems with the fact that she could just jump out of a boat and run into the Dreadfort and try to save him.
Run into the Dreadfort, get the guy. Oops, dogs. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Oops, dogs. It's a good thing those dogs aren't nipping at our heels.
I'm going to take 20 seconds to open this dog door.
No, more like 20 minutes.
And I'm going to let him. Just let him.
Don't stab me. Don't do it.
We don't know what he's got up his sleeve. Let's let him do. Oh, he let the dogs out.
Some important sort of plot points were accomplished with that clunky sequence. Theon is Reek now in his head, in his mind.
Right.
And even given an opportunity to be rescued by his own blood, he's fully Reekified, and he won't go for it. I don't think that message was sold up till this point, but it needed to be.
Yeah.
Plot point two, Reek sleeps with the dogs. I mean, not a major plot point, but a good flavor building element of Reek's Reekification.
That's how he gets the Reek.
Plot
where
point
the Reek
three,
does arise.
Reek proving the fact that he's fully Reekified, therefore is perfectly poised to be part of Ramsay's plan to take Moat Cailin.
And play himself.
Well, maybe that isn't fully explained in the episode, but it's like, I need you to pretend to be someone you're not. You need to pretend to be Theon Greyjoy for me. It's clearly very important to Ramsay. This is like... Doing this to Theon is playing into some little plan that he has.
Well, didn't he speak with?
I mean, Roose told him.
Yeah,
I mean,
he spoke with Roose.
I think everybody probably knows what he's.
Roose charged him with, "Why don't you go down and take Moat Cailin for me?"
Right.
Yeah.
And Ramsay's like, "I got an idea."
Yeah. So this is going.
I'll have
that
someone
way
else take it for me.
Now, refresh my memory. This bit of Ramsay being charged with taking Moat Cailin by using Theon as a diversion or like, you know, to weaken their defenses, let them let their guard down. This doesn't happen until A Dance with Dragons, I don't think. Book 5.
Yeah,
so
I think you're right.
I think this
spoiler.
This whole little bit, everything about Reek doesn't happen until Book 4. But this piece of Reek's, like, Reekification doesn't happen until Book 5, like the tail end of Book 5 even, or at least this series of events with Theon and Ramsay brings us right up to the forefront of where Martin has written.
Yeah, you're right.
They can't move forward with Ramsay or Theon without getting into unwritten territory, I don't think.
Well, no, they can.
Does that mean that they're going
he's,
to?
He's already written the invent some on things? Moat Cailin.
There's not a whole lot of extra room there for what happens with those characters. Certainly not. I mean, if you go like season to book ratio, they're way ahead of the script with those guys.
Yeah,
on a couple plot lines. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So,
well, and Bran's further along now than
a lot further along.
Yeah, mm-hmm. than he was. Than he should be.
We can't say should be. Yeah. Than he was.
John's behind.
You like John's behind? I do. Well, it's great.
John's behind. Let me finish. It's fantastic.
We talked about his abs last week. Let's talk about his behind.
Ooh, what did we miss? Ooh.
Stannis and Braavos.
Yeah.
Go.
That's what we start with,
where
huh?
Where was freaking Stannis? Don't you just hate that guy? He's so full of himself.
I kind of like him.
I wish he would be more cock... I wish he would be more cocksure.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, the two of them and Davos had the...
Braavos and Davos?
Steam ceiling.
Braavos and Braavos.
Fuck y'all. There were speeches. There were speeches this episode. Tyrion, obviously, had a huge speech. Davos had a huge speech.
That's an invented scene, too.
But it's... Yeah, it's cool, though.
But it's implied in the books, I think.
He gave Mycroft pause. And... he walked away with a giant thing of money. I mean, it worked, right? That's what we're saying. He went to them, he got into Mycroft's skin, and they gave him fucking money. Now he's out hiring captains.
He wrote the letter, they boated up there, and then got the money.
It's worth noting, it's like Davos's biggest success in his career on the show thus far. It's like Stannis was in the shitter.
But he's done so many. He's done all kinds of shit like that.
Yeah,
he's done his whole thing even before the book when they talk about him smuggling food in. He's done nothing but save people's fucking asses the entire show on multiple accounts, and he barely gets props.
All he gets is his fingers cut off before that.
I mean, he's a lord. That's something. Or a sir.
Not Braavos.
Spoiler.
You know, no, he's a sir. He's a sir, right?
That's not a lord.
He's a sir. Whatever.
He's a lord.
Big sir.
You can't be a hand without being a lord.
Can't have a hand without a lord. Know what they say? The old phrase? It's not a phrase. But no. Anyway, wouldn't you say he's a smart guy? He's quick on his feet, obviously enough. He's a good tactician. He at least knows some things about stealth and subterfuge.
Definitely from his smuggling days.
Yeah. And he's a very honest... No bullshit type of talker. When he talks to Stannis, who he could really get in trouble with, who could fucking have him killed at any moment, really, especially when Melisandre's around, mm-hmm. he's just like, he doesn't care. He's like, this is the way it is. This is what you need to know. This is what I have to say to you because I care about this situation.
But isn't he kind of safe from Melisandre probably at this point? She's like, we need this guy.
Yeah, for the moment. But we before, he was on the edge of a knife, you know?
Yeah, he was, and then she was like, No. Yeah. Don't kill him.
But Stannis was like, yeah, you're done, yeah. Pally.
Do we even know from the TV show, I mean, where Davos' loyalty to Stannis comes from?
That he spared his life when he caught him as a smuggler?
Well,
I guess, yeah. Seems flimsy. People bolt all the time on the show.
I think
he appreciates being reinvented as a servant of a lord as opposed to being a mere smuggler.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
He's got some station. I think he's the single best advisor on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
It really is.
He doesn't really have his own interests in mind. He's actually has the interests of Stannis
he's all the
in
good
mind.
Things.
It's not any... There's
he's
not any...
He's loyal, just...
Politics behind his...
He's loyal to a moves. Fault big time.
Yep. What else? We had a... Daenerys.
Mycroft.
Danny paying off the...
We had a dragon scene.
Hierakulos Sang. Hisdar Lo...
Noble Hisdar Zolorak.
That's exactly
I speak for
what
the trees.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a cool Lorak. Dragon shot before that.
Oh, yeah. How about the dragon shot?
It was great.
I thought it was something perfectly done.
Yeah, it was probably the best dragon scene we've had in the whole show. Thought it looked great.
Me too.
We only got one out of three, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's fine.
He did say your dragons ravaged my flock.
I didn't notice.
And then she's like, three times their value. And he's like,
Right.
Awesome.
Mix. That's, she's like, this is easy.
That's why, yeah.
Right. Everyone smiled.
Pay them three times what they're worth. What do I care?
Was a little too exuberant. Like, oh, everything worked out.
Yeah.
She didn't say that about the guy's father. Pay him three times what he's worth.
Oh. Right.
You can't put a price on my dad.
Just did.
So she caved pretty quickly with his dar. What do you say?
She did, yeah.
For as inflamed as she's been regarding certain things, especially with slavery and murder and that sort of thing, she didn't get that mad. Yeah. She was just kind of like, well, you guys started it.
And I answered, I'll answer justice with justice, guys.
Right.
Don't.
But then she was like, okay, but yeah, you can
fine. Bury your father.
It's fine. Yeah.
Fine.
I'm glad your dad spoke out and I killed him, but.
Yeah. But you plucked on my heartstrings, so.
Are you even getting and that vibe right now?
I mean, she really has to be talked into playing politics in that area. I mean, she originally wants to just kind of slap everybody down, and
she didn't want to talk to those 221 supplicants. I mean, it's like, oh.
After two, she's like, "Ugh, this is hard."
Because what is it in the book? They're like, I mean, when they determine how many of the masters to like put up on the spikes, it's like. Oh, if you turn someone in, oh, we'll just kind of take the first however many and, like, don't worry about the rest.
What, some sort of plea bargain?
Yeah. I think there's something like that where it's like, ooh, you can kind of get out of it if you're like, this guy wasn't a fucking asshole.
An eye for 10 eyes. Whatever.
I think there's plenty more Myrnese politics to unfold.
Yeah.
She just won the war off screen, as far as we know, and set up shop in the pyramid.
Was it the war or the battle?
It was a battle. There's one master. One guy in an alleyway. And the city falls. Come on.
The harpy is still on top of the pyramid. Don't they tear the harpies down when she wins?
I think so.
Yeah. So
that would have been a nice iconic.
They should have adjusted the.
People like that kind of thing.
Tearing down the
intro.
Kind of reminiscent of tearing down the statues of Saddam Hussein or the wall.
Berlin Wall.
The Berlin Wall or that sort of despotic. Overthrow.
What are we missing?
Did we talk at all about Davos Salador?
No.
I mean,
no. A lot of boobs, guys. Yeah. Boobs.
Probably only deserves a sentence or two, you know.
Just kind of.
I liked it. I liked Davos's finally, he was wry at all or humorous at all, you know, just whimsical, maybe. It's good.
Get him in a room with somebody besides Stannis and he's fine.
Shit. Fucking cut
better,
loose.
Better bring out your brown pants, guys.
Was that in the book?
Who's there? Brown pants.
I don't remember
that. Salador's joke?
No, I don't remember it.
It was good to see Salador, period, and see that...
That it was the same actor.
Yes.
For one.
He's a lovable rogue, as portrayed on the show. You're not my friend, my friend.
He's the Han Solo. Yeah, yeah. I love that line.
Oh, he's the Han Solo of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You're not my friend, my friend.
He is. Does he shoot first?
Only one way to find out.
Did we miss anything? What do we have?
Nothing from the wall. Nothing from...
Nothing from Arya.
Arya, yep.
The Hound.
They got the week off. Bye week.
Mention of the Hound.
A mention of the Hound, yep.
There was?
Yep. Yeah. They said
How
much to offer someone to kill the Hound? They said 10 silver stags. Tywin said, make it 100.
He killed 5 guys and said, fuck the king, so...
Yep.
Let's talk about the small council scene a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So Varys... is really reporting out on Danny's status.
Oh, yeah.
In a very matter of fact. And
that's right.
And Tywin says, send some people to Meereen. Get it going.
They talk about, that she's got Barristan and Mormont advising, and they're like, oh, well.
Varys is convincing them that
kinda
she's a threat.
Not our guy anymore. He's like...
3 baby dragons getting larger every year.
8,000 plus 2,000
dragons, and they're so like for the history of this kingdom that's basically been written by who possessed the dragons. They're awfully sanguine about the fact that she's got. They're just baby dragons,
right?
Dragons haven't won a war in 300 years, Chris.
Don't worry about it. Win them all the time.
God,
I wonder if the wildfire will ever be mentioned again regarding the. Growth and dragon strength. I guess they've already done that thing.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's put two and two together.
Didn't they mention it? Maybe not. Only in the book.
They mentioned that the wildfire is stronger than it has been in the past.
Oh, that's because dragons are around? Or is it vice versa?
That's
I forget.
That's the reader's interpretation, not any character's interpretation.
Okay, that's right. Right. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, nobody that...
Nobody would know that the dragon fire has been, because they haven't been alive that long, right?
Yeah, the opposite ends of the world. You can sort of infer that magic is back in the world because the dragons are back in the world, or that both are back in the world because of some other occurrence. I mean, the others are back in the world, too. And that Thoros and Melisandre's power has become real, where before it was sort of charlatany. Well, what do we got to look forward to?
Apparently a long wait until the resolution.
How many, I mean, four Tyrion's episodes? Trial. Four episodes left?
So we need to see the resolution of
the trial, the wall.
Stuff is going to happen at the wall. We know wildlings are about to attack Castle Black. We don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
We know that. Yeah. Right.
There's a Moat Caitlin attack with
Moat. Yeah, Moat Caitlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stannis and Davos et al. Are going to actually go
somewhere
on the make. Probably
they're
going to
do some shit.
They got some. They have an army ish.
If you remember Davos's recommendation from like seven episodes ago, they might be heading
sail
for
north.
The north.
Yeah.
They convinced Mycroft to give him the money.
Carefully establishing the fact that we're not spoiling anything.
If there's anyone that's listening to this, that if we keep saying Mycroft and they haven't watched Sherlock, they're going to not know what the fuck we're talking about.
Right.
Because we only referred to the Iron Bank banker as Mycroft.
Sansa's
because
gonna,
he's Sherlock's
brother.
Sibling in a television show. Right. I haven't seen the show.
Oh,
spoiler.
Oh,
you should watch.
I've read all the Sherlock Holmes stories.
Oh, was he?
Oh, fuck.
I've wondered about that. Is Mycroft Holmes in the...
Yeah, he's his older brother.
So he's not invented for the show. He's
no.
In the books.
Yeah.
Is he a political guy?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so that's
true. He is.
True
he's
to
a
form.
Member of one of the big clubs, you know, that...
Like the Skull and Crossbones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about some Sherlock Holmes starting right now. An hour into the Game of Thrones podcast.
Tune into our...
What do you want to do? Hounds of Baskerville.
Hound of Baskerville.
This is another show entirely.
Yep.
We'll reconvene with episode 1 of our new podcast, No Shit, Sherlock.